there in Matthew 7:13-14. Look at the words of the Lord Jesus. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I really believe you put this in my heart. Lord, I want to thank you for the blessings of Thursday and Friday. Oh, God, it's still so warm and fresh in my heart. And then, Lord, what you did even after the service Friday, I don't think I'll ever forget that. It was so tremendous and so special. Matter of fact, that's why I'm preaching this message. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And Lord, I don't think you wouldn't take it out, so I would preach on it. But Lord, I just pray I can be a blessing to the people this morning. And may they see a great truth in the scriptures once again. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Thursday, Dr. Bob Gray preached a great message. Talk about our cup. You can get the tape one day and you can watch that. It's worth watching. I'm going to watch that over and over and over. That's a message like Paul in the Valley, that you listen over and over and over. Then Friday at our teen conference, Dr. Gray put up these mics with these signs, wide gate and the straight gate. And he had them very similar to this. And he used it for an illustration. I'm going to try to use it for this morning too. Well, let's look at the illustration that's given there in the Bible and what Dr. Gray gave, and which I'm giving today again. Notice there's two gates. There's a straight gate, which is over here, and there's a wide gate. How many gates are there? Yeah. Now notice what the scripture says about these two gates. Verse 13, actually there's four things said about that straight gate. Look at verse 13 for the first one, that first thing that is said about the straight gate. Look what he says in verse 13, Matthew 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate. First statement about the straight gate is God says, that's the gate you want to go in. That's the gate you want to enter. That's the gate that leads to eternal life. That's the gate that's going to give you a blessed life. Title of the message. That's the gate that's going to give you a victorious life. Amen. Notice what also it says, we are told, by the way, we are told, number one, in verse 13, to enter to that straight gate. The question is to you right now, underneath the sound of my voice, have you entered? Have you entered that gate? You enter it when you get saved. Hello? And then there's a staying in there, walking with God. Are you with me? How many have entered that gate? Amen. If you've never entered it, you need to do it today. Even right now, underneath my voice. And then, second of all, notice, look at verse 14. We're still talking about the straight gate. By the way, praise God. I'm glad our perfect and all-powerful God opens his arm to all people and gives an open invitation for all people to enter. Amen. Man, just to think, no matter whosoever will may come. I'm glad God is a merciful God and a loving God and caring for all people can enter this gate. Right. The doors are not closed to anyone. It's open to all people. Amen. All races, all creeds, all kinds of people. Right. No matter what color you are, what nationality you are, doesn't matter. God says, come, come, come. I'm glad I have a God that cares about all people. Man, he's no respecter of any person. Amen? And then, verse 14, I want you to see the second thing he says about the straight gate. In verse 14, he said the straight gate, it's narrow. How many see that? He said, it's not real wide like that one. It's narrow. It's narrow. That straight gate, it's narrow. And look at the second thing. And look what it says in verse 14, which leadeth unto life. How many want to have everlasting life? Amen. That's the gate you want to go in then. If you want everlasting life, that's the gate That's the gate. Jesus is the door. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. And then he says, look at the next statement. He says, few there be that find it. You see that? Few there be that find it. That's a sad statement. Number one, he calls for all people to come. Number two, he said it is narrow. Number three, if you go through that straight gate, you'll find eternal life. Number four is a solemn statement. Not many will come. Although it's free, although it's an open invitation, although all can come, whosoever will may, I don't care what some people teach, that only a certain select can come, anyone can come. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen? And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And so the straight gate, God says, sadly, at the end, he's the fourth statement about this straight gate, few there be that find it. In other words, not many will come through the straight gate. Even though God gives an open invitation for them to come, they openly reject his invitation. And then let's look at the wide gate. Notice verse 13 when it says about the wide gate. It is broad is the way. Do you see that, number one? It's a broad way. Anybody can go in there. It's so wide. Everybody falls in there. That's the way that most people go. Very few find their way that way. But almost all the world goes this way. And then notice what it says in verse 13 about this wide gate. It leadeth to destruction. Yeah. See this, what did this gate lead to? Yes, eternal life. What did this gate lead to? Yep. And then look at the last statement. It says, and many there be which go in thereat. The third statement, many will go through that. Most people, matter of fact, brother Andy, and most people that we come in contact in our life, most of them, almost the majority of the people that you and I come in contact in our daily life are heading through this wide gate. They're heading down the path of destruction. The majority of the people that you and I meet in the world. Not when you get into your church service, you've signaled it up because you've got believers gathering together. But I'm talking about out in the world, in your everyday meeting with people out there in the world. How many understand what preacher's saying? Listen, so many people you will come in contact with in life are on this road of destruction going through the wide gate. And we need to keep that in mind. What will happen for them? Destruction. So most of the people that we meet, Brother Dale, they're on their way to destruction. If we could keep that in our heart and our mind, it would really want us to witness more. We went to the Frisch's there Friday night. And I thought about Andy and Eddie. They were a waitress. And I asked the waitress, I said, hey, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look for you. Will you be there? And she said, what? I said, yeah, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look. Will you be there? And she said, I'm not sure. I said, well, you have to know Christ as your Savior. You have to receive Christ. She said, well, I go to Kent State University. Believe it or not, she has a boyfriend from Toledo, Ohio. And boy, did we strike up a conversation. Isn't it a small world? And so we just went on, gave her a track. She said she might come and visit our church. And, but here's a lady that we met that, is just, out there on the road of destruction. Outstanding lady. Going to have a major and a degree in some academics, but yet still on the wide destructive gate. Amen? And so, listen, people are willing of their own choosing to choose to enter. Listen, people, they choose to enter here. They do it on their own volition. I want to be here. Because God says, please come here. But they say, no, forget you, God. I'm going to come here. Listen, they would rather enjoy a short season of the pleasures of the world and reject the eternal blessings of God. That's sad, isn't it? I want to read to you something from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's why a lot of people never come to church. They're more caught up in the world. They love fishing more than church. They love their sports more than, there's a lot of people that wouldn't come to Sunday school, but they'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go see a football game. Hello? Putting it on right where people live, don't I? For all that's in the world and lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, we had a long service here, Friday. We started at 6:30 and I don't think it ended till about 9. Did it end at 9:30? And then, you don't understand, Dr. Gray stood here in the auditorium. I don't think we left almost 11 o'clock because I gave up on Cracker Barrel because I knew they closed at 10. So I said, well, Rolston, what are you going to do? I said, come on with me. We'll maybe Perkins or something there by the motel where he's at. Maybe something will stay open 24 hours and we'll find it. But I said, Bob, the Cracker Barrel is done closed. And, but you'd be surprised how many people, for all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How many, the reason I said that was this. You get old, you start losing your, I need to take some, ginkgo biloba. Brain material. All you gotta do is remember to do it. When your kids get old, you learn to write notes down. Because you go upstairs, you walk all at the steps, which is really a challenge now. And then you'll say, Bob, you'll say, oh my land, I know I'm up here for a reason, but I don't remember why I was up here. So what you do, Brother Bobby, you write down, I'm going upstairs to get a pair of socks or something, you know. And so when you get up there, you say, that's why I'm here. I'm trying to teach you guys way ahead of time so when you get old, you understand how to work this thing. See, when you get old, you're supposed to be smarter, amen? You forget a lot of stuff, Jemuel, but you're supposed to be smarter. Anyways, you'll see someday. We will complain about a 3-hour service. I didn't. Now, granted, God bless those poor people in the nursery. Now that's hard. Now that I'll have some sympathy and grace and mercy. But being up here, no way, Jose. And yet, Brother Brian, some people would get mad at a 3-hour service. Yet they'll go out and watch a stock car race. Spend 4 or 5 hours. Never think that about it, Mac. They'll go out and sit in a football game or baseball game. And they'll even sit in the rain. In the hot sun and cold. And I've seen guys and watch those Cleveland Browns in 4 degrees below zero and they're out there cheering them on. I said, you're nuts. You couldn't give me a free ticket. Yeah, especially a Browns game, right? But when they play Pittsburgh, it'd be worth it.
There you go.
But we sit home in the comfort of my nice, comfortable home. I don't have to pay $5 for a bottle of water. Amen. Hello? I can watch the replays because when something great happens, they always show the replay. There you just say, well, I wish I would. Did you see that? No, I was just eating some popcorn. I missed it. I never buy a ticket. But people will complain about a church service, yet not one word. We have our priorities wrong. Notice what it says there. Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm not saying it's not wrong to like things like sports and stuff, but don't love it. Don't take it over God. For all that's in the world, me and Bud have a great time going to watch baseball. I love to go over to this little Akron field over here. Arrows, we have a blast. We know the best place. We're not telling, but we know where the best place to set to, don't we, Bud? We know right the best section and everything where you can see the best, but then where you get all the balls and everything else. But anyways, but we're not, for $5 we might tell you afterwards. But anyways, We enjoy it. We have a blast. Me, that old time catcher, man, we have a good time going there. But I'll tell you, we never take a church day off to go see the Arrows play. For all that's in the world, and the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, pride of life is not in the Father, but is of the world. And the, watch this, that the, all the people going in the wide gate that loves all the things of the world, look at the final end of the world. The world passes away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now I want to say something to you. The majority of the earth's population love the world. The majority of the population of the world are in this wide gate. There, you know what? It says the world, did you notice what? The world's going to pass away. Did you know how the world, do you know how the world's going to pass away? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. I'll tell you. 2 Peter 3, it says this in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. See, and by the way, this old earth, even Ravenna, is going to be burned up. We're going to be planning real soon about, we're getting together again with the men and trying to work on a building that we could build to go out there in a new land, just a starter building, something we can afford. We can't have everything we want, but maybe we can get out there and start with what we got. Amen. And put it upstairs where we can have classes upstairs and downstairs, and put maybe the school in one place and the Sunday school in another place. Amen. But as great as that might be, and I can't wait to do it, Brother Jack. One day, even the school is going to, the church is going to be burned up after the millennium's over, 1,000 years. Amen. But hello, anybody still with me? Notice, so the future, don't put your stock in Ravenna. Don't put your stock in Hawaii. Hang loose. By the way, I read a thing on a computer the other day. It said the longest longevity for men, where to live. Ohio, by the way, is, of the 50 states, Ohio's number 36. We live around 70, I think they said 75.5, something like that. But Hawaii, number one, 80 years. The average age for a death for a man in Hawaii is 80 years old. All they do is hang loose. I remember we went there, the church sent us there a few years back, and I was ordering a pizza. And I said, how long is that going to be? And the guy said to me, hey, you're in Hawaii. Hang loose. He really did. I said, all right, I will. You better hang loose, because I waited a long time for that pizza, man. Yeah, I was starting to come apart. They do not get in a hurry for anything there. They're not going nowhere. They've already got it. But they think they've got it, but they don't have the greatest thing. That's the Lord. Amen. Some of them do, but not all of them. Notice, listen, and most of the world's population is heading headlong. Notice, what's the eternal destination of this earth? Fire. It's going to be burned up. So people are heading headlong into destruction. Amen? Isaiah 5:14 says, I want to notice this. Listen, most of the world's population is heading headlong into eternal hell's fire. 5:14 of Isaiah says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Every day, every second, every minute, multitudes and multitudes of people that have walked through this wide gate. And what's this? They're dying, and they're plunging into eternal hell. And Brother Kerry, if we don't, as watchmen, try to grab them and take them out of it, they have no hope at all. Are you still with me? Every day, multitudes of people are chasing, going through the world's gates, falling down in the depths, in the eternal depths, and wailing and gnashing of teeth of hell. Don't tell me, listen to me, don't tell me it's easy to go against the truth of God. It's hard to go against the truth of God. Are you still with me? I want to read to you Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You want peace? Get in that straight gate. But the transgressors shall be destroyed. But the transgressors shall be destroyed. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. I'm glad I have a refuge. I'm glad that God's my refuge and mighty present help in time of trouble. Amen. I shared this. Let me help you kids. And I think I shared this not too long ago with you. I'm not proud of it. I didn't get saved till I was 20 years old. I know what it's like to be over here. I never had a mom and dad take me to hear the word of God. I never did. I wasn't blessed like Brother Eddie. He's got a heritage. His grandpa saved and his dad saved. And he's got a family. Now those Skyler and Ty's are grown up. Is growing up underneath the world, and Billy Jr. And those, they grew up because mom and dad took them. I didn't have that, Brother Billy. My dad was a good man, but he wasn't a saved man. By the way, good men don't go to heaven. Just saved men. My dad was as honest. I think my dad was more honest than most Christians. His work ethic was beyond measure. He outworked people. They said when he died, the company wrote a big, huge article about my dad. Said they thought my dad was the greatest worker that Allied Chemical ever had. That's a statement, isn't it? But you can do all you want in this world, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're out for destruction. And I've been in the bars and the honky tonks in the back alleys. And I was thinking this, Bob Gray. He said he was 17 years old. He grew up in hearing the word of God. But he was 17 when he finally said, God, I'm gonna go the right way. Why don't you decide right now, if you haven't decided yet, I'm gonna make it the right way for God. I was drinking when I was 14 years old. And by the time I was 18, 19, I was an alcoholic. Don't tell me one drink won't harm you. It'll tear your life apart. Hello. I've had people with guns in my face and knives and everything. Listen, I got in a fight with a guy one time. This is good preaching. I jumped off a table with a guy was about 6'4". He's a big guy. Jumped way bigger than I was. I jumped out of the table and jumped on his shoulders and started beating his head. You know? He's bigger than I was. What are you going to do? Amen? This might not be good preaching, but it's the truth. I'm going to try to help you. One of my buddies, he crashed a bottle, broke a bottle up and said, I'll teach you the method of North Poodle guys. And this guy, I was from North Poodle. So he started slicing this guy up. All the time he was slicing that guy up, even though he's helping me, he was slicing me too. It's just a great time over here. It's just a great time over here. It's a great time you become a drug addict. It's a great time you become an alcoholic. I'm going to tell you, it's not a great time. I'm going to tell you, I've been there and I've been here. I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad 30 some years ago I walked through this gate. I would to God some of you teenagers would say, I'll never touch another drop of alcohol. If you haven't, say, I never will touch a drop of alcohol, and I never will take drugs. I wouldn't you say, by God's grace, I'll never dabble in that. I really believe Tammy Lynn never took any alcohol in her life. When you get married, I hope you can say to the preacher,
preacher, I'm still a virgin.
Well, I wish I could encourage you to sell out to God. You'd be glad if you did. Notice Psalms 119, verse 158. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. The Lord says, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. I wonder how many people are grieving God today. Can I ask you a question? Are you keeping God's word? Are you really walking with God? Are you keeping his word? Or are you grieving God? He says, I grieve when people don't keep my word. I'm going to tell you, all these people on the wide gate are grieving God. And by the way, there's some Christians over here in that wide gate that should be standing there in the straight gate. Amen? Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. It is too. I'm going to tell you that right now. The wide gate brings misery and death. The wide gate brings sorrow and destruction to those that enter in it. Listen, contrary to popular opinion, the wide gate is not the easy life. It's the hard life. I used to wake up in the morning. Josh, first of all, sometimes I woke up and didn't know where I was at. But when I woke up, my head would be hurting so bad. Be laying in puke. Isn't that good preaching? Oh, it's just a great lie. It's a blast. It's horrible. This way is a hard lie. This way is a hard lie. It'll steal from you all your dignity and character and everything you have. It'll steal your eternal soul too. This is not, I wanna live it up, preacher. I'm gonna tell you, that's where you live it up at. Friday night, that was a high. I'm still on a high from Friday night, Andy. That's the kind of high I like. Amen? Wide gate is not the easy life. It's a hard life. Look at the drug addict. I just want to give you a few thoughts and we'll go home. Look at the drug addict. Shaken. Trying to steal anything to get their next fix. I heard on the radio last week, I don't know if it was Sweden or Norway, one of those Scandinavian countries, they're actually legalized. They're buying the needles to give out for free to them. They said they gave up and they just said, we're going to give you free needles. I thought, those people are dumber than dumb. There's not a word for that kind of stupidity. Moronic? Idiots? Morons? Infidels? I don't know if it was Norway or Sweden. You know what one it was, Mac? It was one of those scams. Anyways, I said, boy, you think they got problems now. Now they're giving, they said, the government's paying, Jack. The government's paying to give them the free needles. Go ahead and shoot up, man. Shoot up. Kill your life. You'll be surprised with drug addicts, they go all the way to the edge. And they'll steal and they'll lie and they'll cheat. They'll even sell their body just to get another fix. Oh, preacher, that's a good life. That's a life that's destroyed. I know of a preacher that was on drugs before he got saved. He told me he still has flashbacks. I'm going to tell you something. You stay away from that. You stay away from that. Amen? You take the drunkard with his slurred words. You guys, who are you looking at? You looking at me? Oh, it's just a great life. Falls down, breaks his nose, loses his job, loses his home, loses respectability, loses wife, loses children. Oh, that's a great life. No, it's not. Tommy preaches to him all the time down there in the missions. That's where alcohol, that's where alcohol and drugs end up on the street. It's a hard life. You ask a young girl that had a child when they're real young, you find that they'd really be honest. You say, children are having children now. Eddie put up, 7th and 8th graders, I think you put on there. Did you say 10%? Was that on the board that I saw? 10% of the 7th, but 10% of the 7th and 8th and 6th graders are having sex. They're having children. Baby children are having children. That's a wide gate. See, God meant for a man and woman, but to be married before they come together. Marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Are you with me? And Brother Kerry, I bet you could, if you'd go up to some of those little kids that have children and say, do you wish you would have listened to your mom? Do you wish you could still have 4 or 5 years before you become a 19 or 20. Do you wish you could have some time just to be a kid yet? I bet you if they would tell, they'd say, yes, I wish I could. Do you wish you still were a virgin? Was it worth that little fling in the back of a car? Was it worth it? I guarantee if they'd be honest, they'd say, no, it wasn't. You know what? You got to purpose your heart. I don't care if those boys, they'll tell you. I know boys because I'm one of them, okay? And they'll come up and say, this is beautiful. You are so beautiful. I can't live without you. I love you. And they'll tell you anything they'll tell you anything and everything. For one reason, to score with you. Oh, just let me touch. I won't hurt you. That's their famous saying. They go to touch, say, stop. Stop. And by the way, if you're not smooching, here's what happens. Grab your wife's hand. We'll pretend you're teenagers. See, here's how it starts. You start holding hands in church. Then the next thing you know, it goes for more than half. Then you start hugging. Then you start kissing. And then it leads to the bedroom. Hello. That's why you can't even start it there. Oh, preacher, you're old fashioned. No, I'm just trying to save your life. See, when you start holding hands and necking and doing those things, you're in a wide gate. You're heading for destruction because, if you never hold hands and you never kiss and never hug, I guarantee you won't be going to the bedroom. I know it's pretty straight talk, isn't it? I'm telling you adults the truth, aren't I? I'm trying to help you today. And all those boys, the sad part is, listen to me, kids. I'm telling you. They tell every girl the same thing. And they might have told 4 girls that same week. Oh, no, he really loves me, preacher. I'm going to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. Say no. No. Matter of fact, say, I think I'm going to tell preacher what you want. Then you come and tell me. I'll have him in my office. And I'll talk to him. In the way I know how to talk. I promise you they won't come back. I know I'm going. Tammy used to cry when I pastored Lighthouse because she was just a teenager. And the boys, and I'd say, you get near my daughter, I'd actually drool. I'd get where I could drool, and I'd say, "You get near my daughter, I'll kill you. If I even think that you're thinking, I'm gonna kill you."
Tammy said, "Dad, all the boys are terrified. They won't even come near me. They won't even talk to me."
I said, "That's the whole purpose." That's the way it ought to be. Let me say this. The boys always like the free ride, but they always want to marry the clean girl. Just remember that. I ran the streets. When I met Rosie, I never met a girl like my wife. I said, "Here's my number. Call me." She said, "I don't call boys." I said, "You don't understand. All girls call me." I didn't look like this then. I was really sharp. My mom had an answering service for me. This call, this call, you call. You know, I'm going to get pictures. I'm going to show you. I met one teenager and said, "Preacher, what happened to you?" Those were the glory days. But I said to him, "No, just call me." She said, "No, I don't." She said, "So take it back. I'll never call you." She never did. That's the girl I ended up marrying. I married a pure girl. I was with girls that weren't pure. I didn't marry them. Hello? How many are still with the preacher? We need to get back to the straight gate. I would to God we could raise up a church with a bunch of kids say, "I'm going to stay pure for God." I would to God we could raise a bunch of adults to say, "We'll stay pure for God." Some of you are slinging the alcohol right now. Why don't you go home and take that alcohol and throw it down the drain. Get rid of that house. Get out of your house. Why don't you get over here in the straight gate? Get rid of some of that pornography and the stinking films you got. By the way, her dad was a Fundamental Baptist, the deacon of a Friendship Missionary Baptist. You know where I took my wife on a date? Church. But I wanted to be with her, so I went to church. She said, "Hey, you can go out with me this week." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, my dad said, well, you guys said, all right, we're going." She said, "Yeah, we are. We're going to a corn roast for the church." I said, "Oh, okay." And there I learned the greatness of roasting ears. You put corn on the fire and it tastes great. Amen. I better get off this. Listen, what I want you kids to know is this. I love you. I've been on both sides. You don't have to taste the heartache and the sorrow of this side. Just stay over here. You don't have to go and say, "Preacher, I should have listened to you." Man, I instead of hearing you saying, "Preacher, I wish I listened," I wish they'd grow up and say, "Man, I'm glad I did what you said." Would to God it get in your heart. The tough guys. Josh, the tough guys. You boys in the back. Robbie, the tough guys. Ryan, they're tough guys. They're not the guys here. Anybody could be here. Anybody. All the bumbleheads are here. Most of the kids I grew up, by the way, are all dead. I told you, I went back and preached a funeral with one of my buddies. I asked where all the guys were. They were either in prison or dead. Oh, this is a great line. Cut you short, too, by the way. And all of them are in hell, too. I hate to say it. I, of course, when I ran with them, I was lost. Then I got saved. God moved me away. You know, are you with me? This isn't the good line. This is the bad line. There's the good line right there. Okay. You go talk to a prisoner. You go talk to a guy in prison that's been there for years. You ask a... He's been in a criminal correctional facility for years. You'll say, well, ask him this. If you could live your life over again, what would you do? I bet he'd say something different than what he did. Do you wish you would have listened to your mom and dad? Do you wish you might have listened to the preacher and the Word of God? Listen, the straight gate is a good life. The straight gate is a victorious life. Matthew 6:23. I'm going to read this and then we're going to close. And I'm going to give you one thought. Matthew 6:23. I'm going to give you the good life, the victorious life. Here's the victorious life right here. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness. And seek Him. And all these things shall be added unto you. You want to have a great life? Seek the Lord. Get in the straight gate. Seek God. Put God first in your life. The greatest thing that's ever happened in my life is when I start seeking God. Last Friday, by the way, Matthew 6:33 tells of victorious life. It tells of a happy life, and it tells of the straight gate. I'm closing with this. Last Friday, we shared with you how great it was. We don't know. I didn't count. I'm estimating, and I could be wrong, but I think there was close to 100. There had to be 100 teenagers at the altar. At least. There might, because there's more. Yeah, it could be more than 100. I'm probably shooting low. But so you don't think I'm lying to you. I wrote down at least 100. There were teenagers all over the altar, all down this aisle. Down the sides. Everywhere you could look, there were teenagers weeping. Our kids were up there weeping their heart out. And they came down and prayed to God. They said, God, I want the victorious life. I want the straight gate. They said to God, I'm going to choose the straight gate. I'm going to choose not to live riotously. I'm going to choose not to drink. I'm going to choose not to take drugs. I'm going to choose to stay pure. I'm going to choose to not look at pornography. I'm going to choose not to get in those wicked computer teen groups and look at all the video junk and evil stuff they have on there and not be in those chat rooms like the evil ones. I'm not going to listen to wicked music. And boy, they were just all down there praying. They're giving their heart to God. And the Lord spoke to me. And He said, you tell those kids. Brother Bob was out winning. He saw someone out. He actually went out in the crowd and started winning some people to Christ. And these kids were all just up. And I said, hey, you kids! Do you really mean business for God? Do you really mean what you're doing down here? If you do, I want you to walk through this gate. I want you to come up here and grab and say, praise God or amen, and walk through the straight gate and walk around and go back to your pew. And one by one, we were shouting, screaming. You know, my voice, I could barely talk the next day. Yesterday, I was shouting, yelling, having such a hallelujah. Everyone, there was over 100 kids. How many of you kids went through the straight gate? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Over 100 kids said they got up and they went through and they said amen. And they came down. And they just kept coming. And they just kept coming. And they just kept coming. I'll tell you, my voice went out the attic. There were so many of them. And they just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And kept coming, and kept coming, and kept coming. I said, glory to God, Eddie. Glory to God. I'm so glad you had that youth conference. They were overcomers. They got the victory. They knew the victorious life. Because the victorious life is not here with the Hollywood crowd, with the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the drinkers and the wild ones and the rock bands. The victorious people are here. Boy, Brother Gary and Rod, it wasn't, look up here. But it wasn't, they weren't playing a game. They meant it.
You could tell these, amen, Jimmy, those kids, they meant it when they, I mean, they, that was a real commitment. When I said, if you really mean it with God, you come through here. Bob Gray liked that idea too. Maybe you'll use it in the future. Just get around real preacher, you'll find out too. Kidding. And they come through. And it was a real, see, this was a great commitment. That was even a lasting greater commitment because it was a visual that they'll never get out of their heart. I went through those gates. You know what? I'm going to give some of you an opportunity today. If you've never went through those gates, you don't have to be a teenager. I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, I want the straight gate. I want to be through that gate. I'm going to close with this last scripture. It's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. I always write this, when I write my name, I usually put this scripture down. In verse 4, 1 John 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You want to be an overcomer? Put your faith in Christ and say, man, I'm going to be in the straight gate. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Last thing, and I'm all done. Man, I'm excited. I will never forget what I saw. The service is over. I forgot to put the mic on that already. The service is over. Several minutes. Maybe a half hour. I didn't look. The service might have been over maybe half hour, maybe even more. I didn't look at my clock, but the service was long over. Long over. And I was sitting there, who was with me when I was talking to Dr. Gray? And who was? We were sitting right about in here. What was it? Eddie Dean and Rose, Eddie Rose was with me. And we were just sitting right here talking to Dr. Gray. And all of a sudden, here comes Jeannie Wilson with Bobby. Bobby, I'm on a bear, son. I'll never forget. God used you to me. You're the reason I preach this message. I could not teach you. Jeannie said, preacher, you get that invitation to go to the street gate. Bobby wanted to come, but she wasn't a teenager. For all people, she says, oh, just for teenagers. And she is a young lady, but she looks just a tiny bit over a teenager. And she says, I don't want to leave, but I'm going to tell God I'm going to go through that straight thing. And I said, man, take her up there, go through that gate. And they both went up there. Would you hear, Gary? Oh, man. And they went through, and I remember Bobby. I'll never forget it, Bobby. She went, amen! Amen! Yeah. And tears were coming down her face. Hey. It moved me so much, I'll never forget it. Because what I saw was God gave that girl a victorious love. Amen. She had joy unspeakable. I think she was the happiest, most blessed person in this building or on this property that we have. Because she decided with all her heart, I'll not leave. I'll not leave until I go through the straight gate. And I went home and all I could see, Bobby, God bless you. I'll never forget that. You saw her face too. The joy of choosing Christ.
Amen, man.
Over the world.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you today, if you want to have that joy instead of depression and discouragement, I'm going to give an invitation just to walk up in the straight gate and say, God, amen, I love you. And I'm going to do all I can to serve you. Come up, go through, go back to your seat. If you want to pray, you can. But pray somewhere else because we're going to keep this open. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
I wonder with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. First of all, how many could say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Could you raise a hand? I know for sure I'm saved. You know for a fact if you die, you'd go to heaven. Thank you. Let me put him down. Is there any here today that say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to go to hell. I do not want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? Just pray for me. I'm out in that wide gate. I need to get saved. Maybe you're a Christian, but you've strayed. You're over in this wide gate of the world. And you'd say, preacher, I don't know what's happened. I never thought I'd get over there, but I'm over in the wide gate. Would you pray for me? I'm saved, but I'm in the wide gate. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Who else? Who else? Who else? You know, tonight, Christian, can I challenge you to walk through this straight gate? If you'll say to God, hey, God, now don't do it just for a show. But if you really want to say, God, I'm going to walk in the straight gate. I'd like you to step out there, every born again Christian, and walk. If you will, you don't have to, but if you want to, you come through that straight gate right now. Father, have your will and way in our life. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Rosie's just going to play the piano. If you'd like to come, you just come. And when you go through, say amen or glory to God. Grab one of those phones, say amen, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Shout it out. Let me hear you. Amen. Yeah, boy. Come on, shout it out if you're happy you're saved. Just go that sideways. Go up and around. Yeah, that's it. Hey, praise God. That's right. Man, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying more. I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start doing what God wants and what he's pleased with. I'm tired of the world tearing us down. Amen. Glory. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Shout it out. Don't be ashamed. You shout for them football teams. Shout for them basketball teams. Amen. 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 Yes, sir. Here I am, Jesus. Praise God. I'm going through the straight gate. Count on me. I'm going through the straight gate. I'm going through the straight gate. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going through the straight gate. That's what God wants. Glad you came. Don't miss tonight. Brother Ed, just if you just saw brother the video of the kids and what they had in that video. And he's going to show you scenes from 911, if I remember right. There's some,
yep.
Don't miss it. We